Well, there is going to be a polka party at the Museum of Wisconsin Art in West Bend tomorrow to kick off a new photography exhibit that puts the state's polka culture on display. We'll talk about the exhibit. We'll talk about the rich cultural history of polka music and polka dancing in Wisconsin. And we will welcome any questions or stories you'd like to share. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, January 30th. I hope we can share some memories of polka dancing, celebrate its continued appeal in Wisconsin, and welcome your favorite polka songs, polka bands, your memories and questions about polka's past, present, and future. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have two guests with us this hour. Both are co-authors of a forthcoming book, Polka Heartland, which will be published this spring by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Dick Blau is also the photographer for that book, and his photos are featured in the Polka Heartland Photography Exhibit that opens tomorrow at the Museum of Wisconsin Art in West Bend. The exhibit's going to be running through the end of March. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us. And also joining us is your co-author, your co-conspirator, Rick March, who is a musician, musicologist. He is co-author with Dick of the book Polka Heartland, which will be released in the spring. And Wisconsin Public Radio listeners might remember Rick as the producer and host of the public radio program Down Home Dairyland.
Down Home Dairyland, traditional ethnic music of the Midwest.
That's right. Well, it's good to have you back, Rick and Dick. Before we get into the exhibit and the book and polka culture, let me ask you, what drew each of you to polka? Dick, why did you want to, catalog polka culture on film?
Well, actually, I discovered polka music in the early 1970s when I was teaching in an American Studies program at the State University of New York in Buffalo. And we were really interested in trying to develop a program that that looked at the other people who lived in our country. And we started various programs. We started a Women's Studies program, Native American Studies program, and so on and so forth. And one day, a colleague and neighbor of mine, very famous ethnomusicologist, said, I think we should start a Polish studies program. And then he said, I think I'm going to write a book on polka music. And he quoted the great black jazz musician Charles Mingus, who said, according to Charlie, white man, go study the polka. Well, I was really very interested in this. It was just a very unusual thing to say, because both Polish culture at that time, this was pre-Solidarity, and polka music were really not part of the landscape at all. Well, the next week, Charlie actually went to a polka dance, and when he came back, he said, you know, you should check this out. This is really interesting. So the week after, he and his wife, who is a sociologist, and I found our way to Lackawanna, New York, and walked into a parish hall and saw 500 people in transports of joy being led by the person who turned out to be the innovator of polka music post-World War II, a person who brought blues to polka music, a musician called Lil Wally. Now, I'd grown up in the theater, so I was really interested in performance. What I saw there was a kind of a mass improvisation where everybody seemed to know the script, but were actually working together to create a kind of euphoria that I thought was just extraordinary. The music was great, the crowd was great, and I thought, I want to write that book on polka music too. So I joined a little polka fan club and started making photographs, and that's where it began. We produced a book 20 years later, 1992, called Polka Happiness, and in the course of that, I met Rick March. And Rick knew a great deal about polka. He published CDs with the Smithsonian. And, you know, we talked, and I said, you know, if you ever want to do something together, let me know, because I'd like to actually revisit the scene.
And
so a year or so ago, Rick called me and said, well, I've got a contract to do a book with Wisconsin Historical Press. How would you like to join? Of course, I said yes.
You know, that's wonderful, and I love the name of your previous book, Polka Happiness, because I always think, when I think of polka music, I think happy music. Rick, what about you? What drew you to polka?
Well, my story is much more straightforward. I grew up with it as a Croatian American born in Chicago. Polka was a part of the musical background of life. Frankie Yankovic was riding high when I was a little boy. And actually, my aunt hosted a Croatian radio hour and would, you know, play Yankovic's tunes and so forth. And we were acquainted with him. So, yeah, it was something that I always did. And I play the accordion, of course.
You do, yeah. Well, we should have asked you to bring it in. Rick, what is polka?
Polka is a dance in 2/4 time that started as a pop culture craze in the 19th century, in the 1840s. People often don't realize that. It isn't going back centuries. It started in the 1840s, and it spread really rapidly from Europe to North America. And like all pop culture crazes, it eventually faded in the mainstream culture, but the ethnic groups continued to do it. You know, we had a massive immigration from Central and Eastern Europe, and the polka was popular at the time that people emigrated. One of the common things is among like Polish Americans, for example, will go back and visit Poland and they say, we didn't hear polka anyplace. We thought it'd be all over the place. Well, no, in Poland they went on to other kinds of dance and don't do polka that much anymore. But here, because it was popular at the time they left Europe, the ethnic groups in the United States have kept it going now for 150 years.
You know, when I think of polka, I also think of all the weddings that I went to growing up in Appleton and in Stevens Point. And we talked about those weddings being in the Polish tradition and having polka music played at the wedding.
Sure, sure. Polish, German, various other Slavic nationalities, Czech and so forth. Polka is required. I have often thought that the symbolism of having a dance that has had this staying power is very appropriate at a wedding for hopefully a lot of staying power than in that marriage.
Yeah, well, Dick, tell us about what you tried to capture on the photographs that we will see at the Polka Heartland exhibit.
Well, I was really interested in this idea of happiness, of the kind of euphoria that's produced at a polka dance. And, you know, I've always been interested in, well, I said I grew up in the theater, I've always been interested in the kind of intensity of gesture, peak moments that people achieve when they do something that they really care about, the kind of concentration that's involved in it, and the way in which people who don't necessarily even know one another can find a common ground to play with one another in a wonderful, almost ecstatic way. So that's what I was looking for in my photographs.
And just give us a quick preview. We have just a minute before we take a short news break. But what will we see if we go to the exhibit?
Well, one of the things you'll see is kind of one of people I consider to be polka's greatest soul singers is a portrait of Stephanie Piachak, who I actually photographed in Buffalo when she was 17 or 18 years old, who was I found at the Pulaski Days in 2013. And I think it's one of my favorite photographs. It's she's playing the concertina, completely concentrated, and you just feel like you're in the presence of someone who's involved in something very deep, very profound, very, very true in terms of feeling. So there are pictures like that. There's another photograph of a young couple. Again, this is Polish style, who are in the midst of an enormous leap, and they're completely unified. The two of them together as they find their way into the air in the midst of the best and most ecstatic moment of the Polish style dance. Yeah.
Dick, let me jump in because we will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue having our radio polka party and talk more about the Polka Heartland exhibit and book. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So how can you help but not tap your foot when you hear music like that? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are celebrating polka culture in Wisconsin. Our guests, Dick Blau, photographer and co-author of Polka Heartland, which is going to be published later this year, probably in the fall, by Wisconsin Historical Society Press, and Rick March, who is a musician, musicologist, and co-author of Polka Heartland. The photographs that Dick took for the book Polka Heartland are on display at the Museum of Wisconsin Art in West Bend. The exhibit opens tomorrow with a big opening polka party, and it will run through the end of March. So we welcome your questions about polka, any stories or experiences you'd like to share, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Rick, you brought in a few CDs with some polka songs. What was that we just heard?
Well, we heard a little snatch of Tom Bresky from Milwaukee playing Roll Out the Barrel, undoubtedly the most famous polka song of all time. And Tom's father was a polka musician. He's a very active guy in southeastern Wisconsin in the polka scene.
And his photograph is in the forthcoming book.
That's right. His photograph's in the book. And is it in the exhibit too, Dick?
No, he's not in the exhibit. Essentially, I made 100 pictures for the book and then selected the 30 best, irrespective of who they actually were for the show. So there are several pictures of musicians. I was mentioning Stephanie Piacek, who's there. There's Barefoot Becky is in there as well, but not Tom. He's a wonderful musician.
Yeah, and that is one of the most famous songs. We had Jerry on Facebook who says, my first dance with my mom was to a polka at a wedding reception back in the mid-50s. The band was playing Roll Out the Barrel. I remember feeling so proud to be dancing with my mom. Smiles. Very cute.
It's very intergenerational music.
Yeah, it is. We have Michael in Madison who has a question. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. Speaking of intergenerational, my question is about my mom's people came from southern Germany in mid-1800s, just before Wisconsin became a state. So this would have been the 1840s. And I once asked my aunt, who went to what they called house parties in northeast Dane County, what dances they did. And she mentioned the Schottische, or something like a Schottische, maybe they called it a Marklander or something, and the waltz. And I said, well, what about the polka? And she said she didn't remember the polka. So did my ancestors sort of miss that polka wave by coming a little too early? And did they adopt it later? Because I remember there was what do they call it? Dairyland Jubilee was like this television program where they would have a band come into the Channel 27 station, and people would come in and dance in the studio. This is back in the 50s, probably. And I don't even know exactly what style of polka they were doing. But what's the relationship with Wisconsin getting started with the polka?
That's a really good question. Actually, when we use the term polka and polka dances, Polka is usually one of the very frequent tempos, but it's often not the majority of dance tempos. The Schottische is a 4-4 time dance that was very popular and can be danced in a number of ways. Waltzes, of course, Lendlers, these are all dances that are done. And the polka became the most prominent, through this pop culture fad that brought it over in the 1840s and 50s. So yeah, it is possible that that in southern Germany at that particular time, in the places that your ancestors came from, it wasn't that prominent. Dairyland Jubilee was this wonderful TV program. Big John Schermerhorn as the host, and the Sammy Egham Band was usually the house band. And the style of polka was basically, the commonly done, it was pre the hop polka, which came in a little later. But just, the normal kind of ballroom dancing polka that everybody did in the 1950s and 60s.
And we talked a little bit about the history of polka. Is polka still, as popular as it was once back in my day? I mean, in terms of, being played at weddings, and is the polka culture as strong in Wisconsin? Dick, do you have a thought on that?
Well, polka waxes and wanes. It really depends on the local circumstances. We took 9 trips in 2013, probably saw about 25 bands. And in some areas you see the polka dancers are kind of hale and hearty, like 60 to 70-year-olds. In other places there are a lot of young people. In Milwaukee and River West you see a kind of a polka culture growing there, which really comes out of the art community. In fact, the Squeezettes, who are going to be playing at the opening tomorrow, are really representative of that interest, which I think is a very, very positive sign in terms of the health of the dance.
In fact, let me play a little. I played already Happy Wanderer by the Squeezettes, and this one's called The Blue Skirt Waltz.
Oh, yes.
So, is that a waltz or a polka?
It's a waltz, but it was a hit by Frankie Yankovic.
Oh, okay.
That was actually the melody of an old Czech song that is called the Red Skirt Waltz, and the lyricists who composed the lyrics for Yankovic's Columbia Records release of it decided that blue eyes sounded better than red eyes, I guess, so they changed it to Blue Skirt Waltz.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So they're going to, the Squeezettes will be performing. People can see your photographs. Dick, are you going to be out there dancing?
No, I'm not. I'm a polka photographer. I'm not a polka dancer. I'm really interested in making images of people doing this dance and playing the music. So I spend my time doing that. I do know how to photograph on a very, very crowded polka dance floor without bumping into anybody.
The amazing thing about Dick as a photographer and why I recruited him into the project was that even though he's a big, tall guy like me, he's able to insinuate himself into a situation as a photographer in a way that is so unobtrusive. We were at various dances where, I would feel chagrined. I wouldn't, I'm going to be bothering people. Dick does it in a way that it doesn't bother anybody, and he gets wonderful photos.
Yeah, talk a little bit about how you capture that lively spirit of polka dancing in a photograph, Dick.
Well, one thing I do, I don't photograph from a distance. I'm not really interested in seeing people as kind of like the third person, kind of out there framed in a objective way. I'm really interested in interaction. So what I try to do is I find people I'm interested in who move me, whose dance moves me, whose music moves me, and I try to essentialize the spirit of what they're doing in my pictures. And so consequently, there's a lot of movement in them. They're very dynamic. The pictures in the museum, pictures in the book, of course, are small. The pictures in the museum are huge. They're very tactile. I think the largest picture might be like, I don't know, 6-7 feet long. So I'm really interested in getting the feeling of the polka event, right? As opposed to teaching you something about it, I want you actually to feel what's going on, to feel the tactility of the field, to feel as you are up close and involved in, right, in this really quite extraordinary activity. Mm-hmm. So that's how I do it.
Again, the opening party at the Museum of Wisconsin Art for the exhibit Polka Heartland will be tomorrow. The opening party from 2 until 5 is the time I have. We have more information posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And then it says here that you will be giving a talk, artist talk, Dick, on February 12th. It says Thursday at 6:30. It says you are going to be talking about capturing the world of polka on film, giving this often underappreciated musical genre its due respect. Do you think that polka doesn't get its due respect?
I think in general it doesn't, but I don't think that really matters so much. I think it's actually a very, very important thing to explore and to celebrate. For one thing, and we spend so much time in front of the screen these days that we're essentially consumers of culture. And what's important about the whole polka scene is its face-to-face interaction that actually makes us into the producers of culture as opposed to the consumers of it. So I think that's a really important thing, and I think that's an idea that's gaining a lot of credibility in the culture itself, and you see it in all sorts of ways. I think polka has actually got a lot more respect as the concertina came back into style. So, for example, when I was working on my first polka book, somebody would say to me, "Well, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm doing a book on polka music," and their eyes would just roll up into their head. And then later on, as Zydeco became popular, people would say, "Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. That's kind of interesting." And so it's taken quite a long time, but I feel that this whole dance form, musical form, has really gained a kind of credibility in the culture that it really hasn't had for quite a long time, even if it's still a minority form, and even if still people have their, the old prejudices about it, where they think polka, they think of Lawrence Welk or something like that. And it is by no means Lawrence Welk, I tell you.
Yeah. Rick, do you polka?
Oh, yeah.
You
Dick has some pictures of me polkaing.
That is great. We have other callers. Let's go to Duane in Dalton. Hi, Duane.
Hello. I work at Department of Corrections, and I listen to polkas on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, and most of the staff that I work with, including the convicted felons there, do like that kind of music because they said it's just different. Nobody else plays it. It's different. It's great. I like it. I grew up on it.
Yeah. So what do you like about it, Duane? Great. And that's interesting. Who knew that preferred by the by some inmates? What do you like? What do you like about it?
Well, I grew up on it. I mean, I learned how to dance from my grandma and my mother when we used to go polka dancing all the time, and there used to be just halls all over the place. You used to go within 10 miles of home. You used to be able to go to any Friday, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, and there'd be halls all over the place where you could sit and polka all day long and listen to it. My grandpa used to play the concertina. He's passed away now, but grandma still gets up. She's 93 years old. She still gets up on Saturday mornings by 7 o'clock and listens to the Saturday morning show.
Thank you very much, Duane. You know, Rick, that's it's. I mean, polka is on radio stations,
sure.
It was.
Sure, it still is. And actually, there's internet radio. There's two internet radio things. There's one called Polka Heaven 24/7, and there's another one called Polka Jammer. So you can Google those, and you can listen to polka on your computer 24/7.
Yeah. Now we've been talking about the concertina, the accordion. Why Rick, or can you talk a little bit about how that became so central to the music?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a historical coincidence that the accordion was invented about the same time as the polka craze came on. You know, I've described the accordion and concertina as kind of the 19th century's version of the electronic keyboard. It was a mechanical wonder that one person could play, you know, with the left hand, the rhythm and chords, and with the right hand, the melody and harmony, and you could be a one-man band. And it was just at exactly that time that it was becoming, you know, a widespread instrument that people were moving from Europe to the United States. And, you know, if they could afford it, a very treasured possession in their immigrants' pack would have been that accordion. So, yeah, it became associated with the music just because they were the latest thing at about the same time.
Cool. We have another caller, Dave in Grand Chute, with us. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning. I'm just wondering if you included John Chick and the Wisconsin Dutchman in your
Oh,
book.
John was a dear, dear friend of mine. And
oh, was he?
Yeah.
I played with the band for quite a while back in the 80s. And
yeah. Unfortunately, it isn't the kind of book that lists, like, lots and lots and lots of players. And for the Dutchman style, I concentrated on just the very biggest stars, like Whoopi John and the Six Fat Dutchman. I certainly remember John, and I visited him at his home in Oshkosh, and yeah, he had a phenomenal career with his Wisconsin Dutchman band, and also with his son and a drummer. He made a whole bunch of recordings after he kind of retired the band, just with the little trio. And, you know, and he also defies the stereotype. I mean, he was a professor.
Right.
And
I was too.
There you go. There you go. And so, you know, the stereotype that polka musicians are somehow kind of ignorant people is certainly belied by John, and sounds like you too.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dave, for the call. We have on Facebook, John says, my favorite band is the New Generation. Pulaski Polka Days is the best festival. Very briefly, because, again, we have another newscast coming up, let's talk about the polka, the Pulaski Polka Days Festival. I'm guessing, Dick, you might have taken some photographs there?
There's almost a whole wall of photographs from the Pulaski Days. It is a wonderful festival. It's a three-day festival, brings in a huge number of bands and a great audience. Takes place in these wonderful large tents that glow at night like you were in a dream, and the energy is collective and progressive, and gathers and builds over the course of the entire 3 days. So yes, I think it's a great festival for sure.
And just a minute to go. Are you familiar with the New Generation, Rick?
Oh, sure. They're mostly members of the Merzinski family, whose parents were in the Merzinski Brothers band, and then, you know, the younger generation, the New Generation, started up a band, I'm thinking about 12, 15 years ago, and they're really good.
We are talking with Rick March and Dick Blau. They are co-authors of the forthcoming book, Polka Heartland, which will be published this year by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Dick is the photographer of that book, and his photographs will be on display at the Museum of Wisconsin Art. The opening of this exhibit, Polka Heartland, is tomorrow with a polka party. There's more information about the exhibit and the Polka Heartland party on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll talk more after this news. This is the Ideas Network. So do you enjoy polka dancing? What do you like about it? Do you have a favorite polka festival or polka band in Wisconsin? Why do you think polka has had such a long-lasting tradition in our state? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have two guests with us. They are both co-authors of a forthcoming book, Polka Heartland, which will be published this year by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. And one is the photographer for the book. He is Dick Blau. His photos are featured in the Polka Heartland exhibit that opens tomorrow at the Museum of Wisconsin Art in West Bend. And that exhibit will run through the end of March. Big polka party tomorrow if you want to check out more details on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Also joining us is his co-author, Rick March, who is a musician, musicologist, and all-around polka expert. And we just heard, to me, one of the classics, In Heaven, There Is No Beer. I don't know who was the band playing that, but it sounded like an old-time band, Rick.
Yeah, I didn't recognize that either. It's interesting that this song was actually, it came from a movie that came out about 1955, 57 in Germany, The Fisherman's Daughter, about the Lake Lucerne area. So a lot of the polka classics aren't all that old. Roll Out the Barrel was written in 1927.
Yeah, so. I guess you're right. That's not that old. Yeah. Here's Anne on Facebook says, my father, Gil Voss, has played tuba in a polka band for about 40 years. His band, Buttons and Banjo, still plays at festivals and at dances in the Madison area and all over the state. We even took a trip to Germany, and he brought his tuba along and played with a couple of bands out there. Cool.
Gil is a really dear friend of mine, and another guy who belies the stereotype about polka people being ignorant or something. He was the principal of Oregon High School for many years, and before that, a vice principal memorial here in Madison. I've played with Gil numerous times. He's been at my house, and sometimes when their regular banjo player can't make it, I also play banjo. I'm recruited to fill in on banjo with Buttons and Banjos.
Oh, cool. You know, when I think of polka, I guess I don't think of tuba. Is that?
Yes, tuba is an important instrument in a couple of the, you know, there are many styles. I'm giving a talk on March 5th at the Museum of Wisconsin Art about the many styles of polka. And in the so-called Dutchman sound, the German sound, and in the Czech Bohemian sound, the tuba is the essential instrument for providing the bass.
Oh, I saw that oompa kind of.
Yeah, there you go. That's the oompa. And in the Polish sound, they don't usually use it, or the Slovenian, which is Frankie Yankovic's sound, they usually don't use it.
Is, I don't know, is the polka scene much different, bigger in Germany right now?
There is a polka scene, you know, in terms of people that are interested in traditional music. It'd be something comparable, I would say, to something like, I don't know, the bluegrass scene or something in the United States. I had a wonderful guest. She wasn't from Germany, but she was from Austria, who came and stayed with me for a couple of weeks. Marie Stickler, who is a fantastic musician, but also she's studying polka, and I wound up taking her up to Minnesota to New Ulm, where she, you know, interviewed polka musicians and so forth. So they're very interested, not only in their own European traditions, but in our American polka traditions.
I wanted to play another selection before we go to the phones, and we have full lines, but you shared with us another tell us who this band is that we're going to hear next.
Well, one of the things that is a characteristic of polka always, you know, after the pop culture fad faded, it became immigrant music, music of the ethnic groups, and, you know, it tied them together cohesively. Well, polka also entered Mexico from Europe back in the 19th century, and the Mexican people have brought their polka traditions, you know, to the Midwest. In fact, a style called banda durangense was invented in Chicago, invented in the Midwest by immigrants from Durango. And Dick and I went to a Mexican polka dance in Oregon, Wisconsin, and this band was playing the Mazizo All-Stars. Oops. Nope.
That's not it? Oh, no. So how did we screw that up?
Well, that's the one from this. There we go.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so I don't think, when I think polka, I don't necessarily think of Mexican.
Here, I'll talk a while. See if you can get it queued up. I can.
I don't think I can. So.
Oh, you don't think you can? Okay. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, Mexican music included polka. People probably know the French invaded Mexico in the 1860s. That was at a time when lots of polka was popular. There were immigrants from Germany and what's now the Czech Republic to Mexico and to Texas. And these band leaders created brass bands. And, some Mexican polka musicians are very popular in the United States now and very well known, like, for example, Flaco Jimenez from San Antonio, Texas. He's done recordings with American musicians like Ry Cooder. The style is typically called from Texas conjunto, and the other style that uses the brass instruments is called banda, meaning band.
I apologize for that. We just had our CDs mixed up. So this is the song that you want me to try.
Yeah, if there's a chance.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if we can do this.
This was
in heaven.
Nope.
This is really getting me going here. I don't know what's going on.
Too many.
No,
too
many.
There we go.
That's it. All right. So we got it. Okay. That's very catchy. I like that. Yeah.
So that's a good example of the banda duranguense, the band style from Durango. Durango was a railroading center in Mexico, and in the 1920s, a lot of people from Durango came up to Chicago to work on the railways, and in the 1970s, this style, they were playing the brass instruments, and in the 1970s, the electronic keyboards came along, and these musicians found, it's a lot more convenient than carrying a great big tuba and a bunch of brass instruments to use a synthesizer. So they used typically two synthesizers and only a couple of real horns. So, yeah, what you were hearing there very prominently in that music was the synthesizer sound.
You want to talk about the photos you took at this outing, Dick?
These are very exciting. In fact, because it's so unusual, and because it's really not in people's minds that there's a Mexican polka, I made an entire room of the show from the shoot that Rick and I did at the Las Vegas Latin Club in Oregon, Wisconsin. And essentially, we asked ourselves, we knew there was a lot of Mexican polka somewhere. We didn't know where it was. Rick went to a Mexican grocery store in Madison and asked, and we found our way to Oregon. You go to the traffic light where the McDonald's is, you make a ride into this old industrial park and find your way into this large kind of warehouse building, and there was an indoor soccer field that you went past, and way in the back was this incredibly beautiful handmade nightclub that booked in bands like the Mazzizo All-Stars from Chicago. It was quite dark. They had a smoke machine and a laser system, and it took me hours to figure out actually how to photograph this. But when I finally did it, I think I produced some of the most beautiful photographs I've ever made. They are just atmospheric and mysterious, and really, really worth checking out. If you're interested in photography, if you're interested in the more exotic forms from Wisconsin's point of view of polka music, this is really something to see. I'm really thrilled to have them up and so large.
Wonderful. Let's go to John in Beloit. Hello, John.
Hi, just a quick story to illustrate the power of polka. At our wedding reception, we started out with the obligatory slow dance and kind of put the crowd to sleep. But then I said, let's get this party going, and I grabbed my wife, and we started a polka. And we didn't realize till part of the way into the song that the crowd had circled around us, and they were clapping along, and it was just her and I polkaing. And what's interesting is 30 years later, occasionally somebody will approach me and say, you know, you're the only couple I know that your first dance was a polka. And it wasn't, but I love the fact that they remember it that way.
That's wonderful. Thank you, John. Sarah in Chippewa Falls has been waiting too. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. My comment is I grew up listening to polka music because my dad really liked it. And we have a local radio station in Chippewa Falls that plays polka music even today, I think from 6 a.m. until 8 a.m. every day. So the thing that I like about polka music is that it's really feel-good music. So sometimes even now, I'm in my 30s, but when I'm driving to work, I'll tune into polka music because it's a really good start to my day.
Wonderful. And I just, because we have another caller, I'm just going to go to one more. Spencer in Waukesha. Hi, Spencer.
Good morning. I'd just like to thank you guys for putting on this wonderful show. It's made my commute this morning so much more pleasurable. And I just, my comment was that I'm 25, and everybody I talk to who's in my same age really doesn't listen to polka. But like the previous caller, I also grew up on it, listening to it with my dad, and I just have so many good memories about it. And also, my girlfriend is from Illinois, and she had never danced a polka before, and I got to teach her to dance the polka at the Lakefront Brewery, and that polka has just provided so many good memories for me. So I'd just like to thank you guys for putting on this wonderful show, and I can't wait to see some of the pictures you guys have.
Wonderful. You know, I wish we had more time. I think that was a nice way to end it.
One of the great pictures in the exhibit was taken at the Lakefront Brewery.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you very much to both of you. This has been a lot of fun. Maybe we can do it again when the book comes out. We have with us Rick March and Dick Blau. They are the co-authors of Polka Heartland, which is going to be released later this year in the fall. And you can also get more information on Dick's Polka Heartland photo exhibit on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. That opens tomorrow. This is the Ideas Network.